Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 9, edited by Rachel Kramer Bussell, narrated by Arlene Seberg. Introduction. Ready to Tempt You. The 19 stories gathered in Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 9, are ready to tempt you. Literally. The theme of each of these stories is temptation, and each of the authors approaches it in a different, dazzling way. Whether desiring a forbidden lover or pursuing a fetish or fantasy, each of these characters find a way to give in to temptation and discover how good it feels to cross that line. From the overwhelming urge to pursue kink, even when running for Congress, as in No Resistance by Tara Parker, to public sexy play in Burlesque by Aaron Schells, these characters push themselves to do things that might feel a little wild and risky, but are more than worth it. Some of these pairings offer a taste of the forbidden, such as the boss Aaliyah and her employee Isabella in Follow You Down by Carmen Lee, in which Isabella asks Aaliyah, "Do you feel like you're doing something wrong? Am I something wrong? Something dirty to hide away?" When the desire to say yes wins out over what might be the more rational or logical choice is when many of these characters find pleasure that feels even more intense because of the taboo nature of their actions. In other tales, just the hint of impropriety, of possibility of temptation, is enough to fuel these women's erotic desires, to open them up to new ideas that they take into their relationships. In Plus One by Nicole Falls, Zadie feeds off the energy of sexy couple Markel and Chantil, their sizzling chemistry transferring to her as if by osmosis. In Bloom by Louise Lush, Lisa gets asked out for the first time in decades, and the mere act of being wanted so blatantly, so openly, has her seeing herself in a new light. She imagined his lips on hers, insistent, his stubble harsh against her face, his strong hands unbuttoning, unzipping, inching past underwear, fingers pushing into her cunt, her newly reawakened juicy cunt, and her ready to explode, totally turned on by the moment, by the way he looked at her, wanting her, writes Lush. Whether they're in outer space, a library, a bar, or much closer to home, these lusty characters find that the acts of tempting and being tempted offer them pathways to unlock their deepest fantasies and become versions of themselves who are ready for anything. I hope you find these stories as arousing, delightful, and inspiring as I did. Rachel Kramer Bussell. A pirate always gets what she wants. Lisa Walensky. It was an almost picture-perfect November night outside, but despite the calm weather, all was not quiet. A frantic bell echoed through the cold air, shattering the stillness of the evening. Pale moonlight shone over the hilltop manor from where the alarm clamored, casting long shadows over the perfectly manicured yard, the austere building's white facade, and a broken window in the rear of the house, partially obscured by fastidiously trimmed hedges. The window, with its shattered glass, hung wide open, a clear sign of invasion. Inside, the halls were electric with tension as teams of guards in matching armor marched through the building as they sealed exits, moved to protect the royal valuables, and ordered the various guests and servants to stay in their rooms out of harm's way. Already they'd found three of their own knocked unconscious and bleeding, their bodies poorly hidden out of haste. Clearly the intruders were skilled enough to dispatch their comrades with such efficiency, and so they had entered on high alert, their hands hovering around the hilts of their rapiers as they searched for whomever had broken in. Throwing open the door to a vacant bedroom, a pair of them rushed in to search, pulling open the empty wardrobe and tugging the bedskirt aside. Finding nothing amiss, they turned on their heels and dashed off to investigate the next room. Suspended in the corner of the bedroom ceiling by nothing but her clearly defined muscles, Captain Anise grinned to herself with smug satisfaction at having been overlooked. As she jumped down from her vantage, she kept an ear on the sound of the men's receding footsteps. Slinking across the room, she lingered by the doorway until she was sure they'd turn the corner. Only then did she take her opportunity to dash down the hallway in the opposite direction, moving with equal parts speed and silence. She made her way through the manor with complete confidence, having studied her target well before launching the raid. She knew precisely how many guards there were, the places they'd search, and in what order. She knew the layout of the place, where valuables would be kept, and where she and her crew could escape. A few baubles snatched from the coffers here would be enough to keep her and her crew living the high life for a good long while, and no one would expect sea pirates to go inland, let alone conduct such an audacious raid, so they'd be scot-free once they pulled it off. It was risky, robbing a prince, but the siren's song of fortune was far too sweet for a bold captain like Anise to ever ignore. She stole through the elegant building with as much speed as she could risk. The moonlight filtering through the tall glass windows occasionally caught the shine of her raven black hair, tied tightly into braids around her head, or a hint of the chainmail she wore beneath a dark tunic, covered in countless pockets and pouches. For the most part, however, she was indistinguishable from the shadows she moved in, deftly weaving her way toward the prince's personal wing. As she slunk through the halls, her appraising gaze took in the ornate tapestries and huge oil paintings in gilded frames that decorated the walls. The floors were covered with thick, patterned rugs that muffled her footsteps wonderfully, and the filigreed oil lamps set into the walls were thankfully dimmed, affording her plenty of darkness and cover. She regretted that she couldn't simply steal everything here that wasn't nailed down, knowing the fortunes she could doubtless make selling art to her less than scrupulous buyers. But alas, she could only carry so much. The closer she got to her goal, the more empty the halls became. Her crew had drawn the guards away just as planned. The others would grab what they could from the lower levels and keep up the ruckus, ideally without getting caught, thereby keeping the heat off their captain. She'd only have a few minutes to take what she could from the prime target, the prince's personal items, and make her escape. Her heart thumped in her chest, and she grinned with adrenaline. She loved a risky gambit more than anything. Feeling the rush as her skills were pitted against the ticking of the clock, or, better yet, certain death, made her feel alive. With a final glance back and forth down the corridor, she found herself in front of a particularly ornate door made of heavy, dark-stained wood. Jackpot. She didn't waste time trying the knob, knowing she would find it locked. Instead, flipping a stray strand of hair out of her vision, she knelt and drew out a set of well-used lockpicks from one of her many pockets. It was a surprisingly easy task. She'd cracked safes far more delicate and devious than the simple latch here. Opening the door just enough to slip through and closing it quietly behind her, she passed into the still, candle-lit hallway beyond. Now in the prince's private wing, Anise knew she was nearly in the clear. The prince himself, if he was even in attendance on this particular night, would have been taken to one of the more secure areas of the manor with the other precious things to be protected, meaning there would be few, if any, people left here in the middle of the night. It made her job all the easier, since she didn't need the most valuable things in the estate. Her crew would live richly on the common valuables the idle rich took for granted. Already, her itchy fingers started picking up things here and there as she flitted past. Candlesticks of precious metal, figurines of ivory, a small clock with delicate inlay that she paused to wrap in a cloth before packing it into her quickly filling rucksack. Glancing in rooms as she passed, she skipped by offices and sitting rooms. Marble busts were too heavy, and she couldn't value a book at a glance. However, when she came to another locked door, she couldn't help but pause to investigate further, wondering what treasures might be worth locking away. Another quick twist of her lockpicks found Anise standing in a bedroom laden with finery. She wasted no time on the view, darting to the vanity and slipping off her rucksack. She grinned, gleefully stuffing the bag with handfuls of glittering accessories, silver combs, bejeweled hairpieces, and more, wrapping everything up in silken scarves and velvet gloves that she pulled out of drawers. She paused to consider a crystal bottle filled with a sweet-smelling cologne, debating if it was worth the risk of it shattering en route and stinking up her entire take, when a quiet sound behind her caused her to instinctively freeze. Dropping the crystal on the dresser, she whipped out her short sword with lightning speed. A sharp clang echoed in the room as metal struck metal, Anise barely deflecting a rapier that would have plunged into her back. "You know," she said with a grin, sizing up the man who held it, "I really thought they'd have put you somewhere safer, Prince Sylvester." The prince did not seem remotely amused. His immaculate golden hair was set into loose, long curls that framed his strong-jawed face, and his full lips were almost inviting, even when turned into an imperious scowl. More intriguing was the bit of a bend he had in his nose, suggesting he'd broken it at some point, a bit of character to his otherwise pretty face. She had to admit, she was impressed. He was tall, very tall, and broad to boot, and yet he'd managed to sneak up on her despite his imposing frame. Sword still up and at the ready after being deflected, he replied to her remark. "They certainly tried to, but I hate to be kept from the action." He lunged again, emphasizing his words with a strike of his blade, "particularly when they aren't getting the job done." Once again, she skillfully parried his attack. He loomed over her by nearly a foot, and the weight of his strikes told her he was no amateur. "Oh-ho," she scoffed. With an artful twist of her wrist, she took to the offensive and launched a flurry of slashing blows at him, trying to beat his superior strength with greater speed. "You think you're better? Had some fencing lessons between your tea-sipping and handshaking?" His expression remained arrogant as he fumed, still blocking and dodging, practically spitting his reply. "I've done much more than that. Not that I'd expect a petty thief to know." "Petty?" Anise laughed. "Petty? Oh, sweetheart, there's nothing petty about me." As the pair traded blows, moving with equal skill, Anise's eyes flicked about the room looking for something to stack the odds in her favor. An idea sprung to mind, and she added, "Well, maybe a bit petty." Darting to one side, she snatched up the cologne bottle, popping the top off with her thumb and splashing the contents squarely in her opponent's face in one fluid motion. Sylvester hissed in surprise, blinking madly against the burning sensation in his eyes. Convinced of her victory, Anise pounced on her opening, sword aimed at his chest. Not to be bested so easily, the prince leapt back with astonishing speed. Letting go of his sword and dropping down, he grabbed the edge of the rug Anise stood on, and with a savage yank threw her wildly off balance. A look of shock passed over her face as she stumbled backward, swiftly turning to anger as Sylvester took his own opening, brashly leaping forward to tackle her. His powerful frame slammed her into the polished floor, momentarily winding her as he made to snatch the sword from her hand to use against her. She tossed the blade away rather than fight him for it, sending it clattering to the other side of the room. She didn't need it anyway. With practiced grace, she slipped a concealed dagger from her sleeve and drove it toward the prince's neck. Her blade stopped short, however, its tip hovering a hair's breadth from his skin. From this distance, she could see the prince's pulse pounding in his throat, sweat beating on his skin from their fight. It was the sharp sensation of steel pressed against her own chest that had stopped her. She hadn't been the only one with a hidden knife. Anise stared up at the man pressed atop of her, pinning her in place with his face mere inches from hers. The weight of his toned arm laid heavily across her breast. She could feel the heat of his body practically draped over her own, down to his hard, cut muscles obscured behind his disheveled finery. Both breathed heavily, the scent of their bodies drowned out by the cloud of spilled perfume. If either of them moved, they'd both die to the other's knife. They were in a stalemate. She smiled grimly. "Well, this is a situation, isn't it?" Sylvester glared at her imperiously, muttering through gritted teeth, "If you move, I'll finish the job." Anise was unperturbed as she replied, "Same to you. A chest wound won't kill me right away. You so much as twitch or start to yell, I cut your throat. The prince's frown darkened as he tightened his grip on his knife, aware that he was as stuck as she was. So, where do we go from here? She asked. Eyes narrowing as his full lips twisted into a thoughtful frown, it was clear that despite his frustration, he didn't especially have any ideas. Stuck as they were, faces practically touching, the pair had little choice but to size one another up. He really wasn't bad-looking at all, Anise caught herself thinking again, and at this angle, she could appreciate the line of his jaw and catch a hint of his perfect teeth. Adrenaline still pumped through her, the rush of the heist and the fight making her wound up and ready. The sensation of a man against her on the ground was giving her naughty ideas. And judging by his body language, she wasn't the only one. She could see his amber eyes roving over her body with barely concealed fluster, despite his gruff exterior, the bit of blush on his cheeks more than just from exertion. She felt his hand grazing the side of her breast and against her thigh. Something besides a dagger was poking into her. The mischievous cast returned to her grin as she decided there was something else in this manner she wanted besides treasure. She gave a tiny tilt of her chin, the slightest gesture of invitation. Come here. Prince Sylvester's eyes narrowed.
What?
Here, she repeated, leaning forward just enough to close what little gap remained between their faces. Her knife didn't move from his neck as she tasted the sweat, lip gloss, and cologne on his mouth. Much to her satisfaction, his dagger didn't move either. Whether from shock or discipline, it remained hovering just by her ribs. The threat neither removed nor carried out. It only heightened her desire for him. Sylvester looked at her with a mixture of embarrassed outrage and intrigue. It was such an earnest expression that Anise couldn't help but chuckle. What? She played off her advance jokingly. I've had an exciting night, and now look at us. What's a woman supposed to do with such a skilled man on top of her? She shifted under him invitingly, parting her thighs and pressing her hips up into his. I can feel you've got more than one dagger up against me. And if you're that good with a sword, I would love to see what you can do with your other one. She smiled at his embarrassment. I can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. So what do you say? The prince held her dark, shining eyes with a fierce suspicion that failed to mask his welling desire, stoked by her words. Anise didn't waver, regarding him with a playful self-assuredness he couldn't help but find tantalizing. The silence was thick as he considered her lithe form pinned beneath him. He could feel her muscles, toned undoubtedly from countless crime-fueled capers like the one he'd caught her in. Her tanned olive skin was flushed and warm, her energy and intensity palpable. She was clearly confident and unrelenting in her desire. She wasn't like anyone he'd ever met before, and he couldn't deny that he wanted her more in this moment than any of the high society women he'd known. Anise smirked, watching the stone-faced prince fight with himself, his eyes hinting at his internal struggle. Suddenly he gave a sharp breath, speaking with authoritative command. If you so much as hint that you're making a move. With a chuckle, the pirate arched her back and rolled her hips against his, grinding against his hard cock, though her gaze remained deadly serious. Same goes for you. She leaned in to kiss him again, whispering breathily in a joking voice that was no joke at all. Don't flinch now. The two pressed their mouths together in a hungered passion, fed by the adrenaline still coursing through them, sharpened even further by the thrill of the still very real danger. Their blades remained unwaveringly against the other as they tasted each other's lips, the threat of the cold steel hovering just close enough to touch, but not enough to bite. Anise's free hand came up to trace a wide path down Sylvester's chest with her palm, feeling the ample curve of his pecs through layers of silk and linen. Trailing lower over his toned abs, she roughly grabbed at the band of his pants and pulled down, pressing more of him down onto her. Sylvester twisted his own free arm slightly in response, his hand easily fondling the entirety of one of her breasts, covered as it was in chainmail. She purred at the feeling of the rough metal rubbing against her pert nipple through her undershirt, and while the thought of his warm skin against her instead was tantalizing, this was its own erotic rush. As their fevered mouths worked faster, pressing harder with ever-increasing hunger, Sylvester decided to push his trust first, slipping his tongue into Anissa's mouth. She rewarded him with her own, peppering in a series of delicate bites along his tongue to remind him just what she could do if she wanted. Reaching down with her free hand, she slid her fingers toward his other royal jewels, but found she couldn't quite reach the fastening of his pants. Instead, she amused herself by pulling open his fastidiously tucked and tied outfit, leaving him in even greater disarray than before. In response, he pressed himself in harder, his rock-hard cock rubbing deliciously against her clit even through their clothes. She started to grind hungrily against him, wrapping her legs nimbly around his thighs to pull him inescapably in. All the while, neither had taken their eyes off the others, watching for any sign of deception or weakness. This could only go on so long before both were ravenous for release. Pulling back just far enough to free himself of his clothes, Sylvester balanced himself on his knees to use his free hand to open his own pants with abandon, attention still utterly trained on the woman under him. Anise watched as his shirt was pulled aside, revealing a glittering ruby bar pierced through one of his nipples, adding an unexpected touch of sparkle to his smooth, rippling chest. It wasn't the only hidden jewelry he had, she quickly discovered, raising an approving eyebrow at the large diamond adorning the head of his equally sizable cock. The coffers clearly weren't the only thing of the prince's that were well endowed. When he moved his hand to the band of her own trousers, she stopped him. You think I want to get tangled up? No, this is what we're going to do. With her free hand, she reached down toward her crotch, slipping in a firm stroke to her clit to keep her going before the main event. Taking his hand and placing it on the inside of her thigh, she directed, "Help me out here. Pull." With his assistance, she grabbed the other side of her pants and pulled, tearing a hole along the seam with a pop of ripped threads. She smirked as she squirmed about, revealing her pussy as she pulled her panties aside, spreading her legs wider and tilting her pelvis forward invitingly. For the first time, Sylvester returned her grin with a small one of his own as he settled himself into place, clearly appreciating the tactical move almost as much as the view. Sliding his cock into her already slick pussy, he gave a small groan as he began to thrust. Anise arched her back, biting her lip as she matched his motions, their knives held as firmly as they could while they pitched back and forth, their challenging stares daring the other to flinch, to buckle, to come first and name the other the winner. They kept up a frantic pace, losing the earlier coordinated elegance of their sword fight as they were overcome with a singular shared need for release, feeling the other's body and breath as the rest of the room faded into the background. By the time they came, both were in a fever pitch of desire, barely remembering the situation that had brought them there. With only a few seconds spared in the thoughtless space of the afterglow, they both lowered their weapons, an uneasy truce wordlessly declared. After a long moment spent gazing into the prince's face, Anise declared, "Come with me," as easily as if the idea were nothing. The audacity of the notion caused Sylvester to blink. "What? Why would I?" She cut him off as she rolled out from under him and straightened her clothes. "Because you want to, clearly. No man who dodges his own men to get into a dirty duel with a pirate wants to deal with rules." She collected her sword and rucksack, even taking a second to toss in the now empty cologne bottle before the shocked prince could realize she had, still talking all the while. "I can only imagine how many you have to follow, day in and day out. Appearances, decorum, laws." Shouldering her bag, she made her way toward the picture window on the far wall. "That's the difference between you and me. Pirates and princes, we both get whatever we want, one way or another. Princes just have to follow the rules." She extended a hand out to him as she pulled off the rope tied to the side of her rucksack. "So what do you say? Do you want to follow the rules? Or do you just want to get what you want?" Sylvester looked between her hand and her face, her eyes sparkling with impish glee, her smile promising nothing but danger. He knew he had seconds to decide, and the chance wouldn't come again. As the morning sun began to crest the eastern wall of the estate, painting its white facade in shades of lilac and peach, the captain of the guard swept into the prince's room to shamefully report to his liege that the intruders had escaped, ready to explain how he intended to give chase. What he found, though, was only an empty room and an open window, letting in the cold, untamed wind. Great is thy faithfulness, Veronique Veritas. I shut the car door and headed over to the wooden stand where a modest sign announced fresh seasonal produce in meticulously hand-painted white lettering. The gravel shifted and crunched beneath my combat boots. I saw Jacob in front of me in a clean, blue-checked shirt and, even after so many times, even though his beard and blonde hair had started to show signs of gray, I couldn't help but smile. Brooke, Jacob said in his slight German accent. It is always good to see you here. I noticed Jacob's older widowed sister Sarah adjust her glasses and glare at me dubiously. But what could she say? Even if she didn't like him talking to the English, his whole family tolerated me as a regular customer. She said something to him in Pennsylvania Dutch. I knew a little German, but could never make out any familiar words when she spoke it so fast. Jacob's daughter, Rose, only slightly older than my teenage daughter, Avery, brought Sarah a basket of dirt-covered onions, and they both turned to walk toward the farmhouse. Identical white lacy discs modestly covered their tightly wound blonde buns, and their long plain dresses flowed in the summer breeze. It's good to see you too, I replied, but I don't think Sarah's happy to see me. Do I even want to know what she said this time? I purposely brushed my fingers over his rough hands as I gave him a few dollars in exchange for a small paper bag of cucumbers. Jacob's bright blue eyes never left my face, and I felt him subtly return my touch.
You know she is nervous of English women. She does not want me to be hurt again, he explained.
All English women, or just me? I pressed. There was a pause as we parted our hands and he placed the money in the lockbox beneath the counter.
We have discussed this before, he said,
his voice firm and unwavering the way I'd always liked.
You are different than others I had been with during my Rumspringa.
But I could never marry you, right? Your community wouldn't take me, even if I tried. I half-joked. For emphasis, I gestured at the faded floral tattoos across my chest, easily visible above my black tank top. Jacob threw a quick glance back at the farmhouse, then gave a mischievous smirk that reminded me of another time we'd been together, when he'd kissed the outline of every flower before moving further down.
They would revile you and spurn you, he whispered. My cheeks got hot even though I was in the shade. For my part, they would shun me, and I would leave a fatherless daughter.
We already knew this. Getting caught and publicly shamed would be a nightmare for us both. We were responsible adults, parents even, and we knew we should know better. So why did those words continue to make him smile when he waved goodbye? And why was I undeniably wet, squirming in my seat for the rest of the drive home? We'd first met when we were kids, and my grandma, who raised me, would ask his mother about quilting designs at the local fabric store. I moved back to the area from the city to claim the house after Grandma passed, and my relationship with Trevor, Avery's dad, had started to chafe. By that time, I barely recognized Jacob. The Mennonite community tends to grow up fast. He'd already lost his first wife to the allure of the English world, my world, and he and Sarah helped raise his daughter, Rose. Then a few years after that, his second wife and next child passed during her labor. It was uncomfortable to remember that part of Jacob's life. A part of me was tempted to blame it on the generally anti-doctor stance of their community, but I was also hyper-aware of the general dangers of childbirth, even in highly supervised hospital rooms. I'd heard enough from another friend's high-risk delivery a few months ago.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?